Now, in verses 29 and 30, we get into what has been called by Spurgeon golden links in the chain of God's providence in salvation. And so he just lists these, and it includes foreknowledge, predestination, conforming, calling, justifying, and glorifying, which are all great truths. And this is God's doing. It is not our doing. It is God's initiation, God's action, and God's completion, taking us all away. And as I mentioned, this is the very heart of God and what he's doing for us and God's commitment to us. Interestingly, it's the center of controversy, not only from unbelievers, but among Christians. And for what I'm going to say this morning, I'd be thrown out of most churches. But I'm thankful we can be here together in the unity of thought about the truth here. So if there are golden links in this chain, let's just take the links one by one as they're listed here. The precise process of God's providence in salvation. And we begin with verse 29, says, for whom he foreknew. Sometimes translated foreknowledge. It's listed four times in the Bible, this word about that. The word is as strong as predestination. The word know in Scripture refers to more than information. It refers to relationship. It refers to love. And we could rightly read, whom God foreloved, he predestined. And an interesting passage in Genesis says that Adam knew his wife, and they had sexual intimacy and the relationship in marriage. He knew his wife, not just information. Now, what are the possible interpretations of this? Whom God foreknew, he predestined. Now, the popular, quote, Arminian thought was stated here, I think, last week by Ray, that people say that God, being omniscient, could look down in history and see us or other people, what they might do in relationship to Christ. And those who accepted Christ out of their own decision, will, and determination, then God chose them. That God's election is based on what we do or might do, and so that puts God in a place of dependence upon what human beings would do in order to carry out his providential, predestined plan for history. And you think of how that might work. Even with Joseph and Mary and the birth of Christ, where the angel visits Mary and says, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, you're going to have a son, you'll call his name Jesus, and Mary says, no way. I don't want any part of this. I'll be excommunicated from my community. I'm not the one. The angel comes to Joseph and says, that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and do not fear to take her as your wife. Joseph said, no way. I am not going to have a part of this. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have a summit meeting in heaven and say, now, we've got troubles. We can't get these people to do what we intended, and therefore we have to go to plan B. Mm-hmm. We just have to make different arrangements. It's just as absurd as that, that the Lord God Almighty is dependent on people and makes his election as based on what men might do. This word means knowledge before. And it's knowledge before an event because it's based on what is predetermined to occur. You and I can't make predeterminations because we are so dependent on everything. God alone can make predeterminations, and he has done here as it's stated. This word means previous determination, whom God foreknew, he predestined. The first link in this chain is God's great foreknowledge. Now, the second link is the word that people use quite a bit, predestination. It's also used four times. And it's two words, of course, pre and destination, or a destiny. The pre meaning before, destiny meaning what is established, destined, determined, fixed, and certain. God's predestinating plan is fixed and certain, and will never be changed or altered or thwarted by Satan, angels, or human beings. What a wonderful thing it is to know that. Otherwise, you put life at the table of luck and fate and chance, and you'd have nothing of any security whatsoever. If you run across it sometime, pick up a book by R.C. Sproul, the title, Not a Chance, which isn't good. No, there's not a chance in this world. Where he says if one molecule in the whole universe is out from under God's control, then we're all in trouble. What we're saying here is God is in control. And this link in the chain is the determining factor that carries out our election, our salvation, eternal life, and gives us security this morning. The third link in this chain is calling. According to his foreknowledge, he predestined, and those he predestined, these he also called. Let me back up for just a moment. We talked to a man on the phone last night about this very thing. And the question was, how long has God loved us? God existed always, but then when did he love us? Well, the only answer is forever. There was never, ever, in all eternity, a time when God did not love us and had not elected us. The calling comes in our lifetime when we actually experience the regenerating salvation of the Holy Spirit with a calling. And we've talked about this before. But there is a general call, we could say. If 500 people were here and the gospel was preached, there would be a general call where it would be made known to them in their physical ear that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. But that's as far as it would go. Now, among those 500 people, there are 100 whom God has chosen to save. And when they hear the gospel, if that is the appointed moment for their salvation, they will hear inwardly, and God will raise them from the dead and open the blindness of their eyes and the understanding of their heart and turn them to faith in Christ. That is a specific call which you and I have experienced because we are alive. We have spiritual life. We have hearing ears, and we have understanding hearts about the gospel. Thank God for his calling to us personally, not just other people. Now, the fourth link in this chain is justification. Whom he foreknew, he predestined, and he called, and he justified. What a great, great term and thought is this justification. It means being right with God. Some have said, just as if we had never sinned. That's too good to be true, isn't it, in our hearts? Sin is forgiven, past, present, and future. The relationship is established, can never be changed. We are right with him now and forever. This is the fourth link in that chain: foreknowledge, predestination, and calling, and justification. The fifth link is glorification. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, you notice that all of these terms are in the past tense. So from God's viewpoint, we are already glorified. It's as sure as those who are already in heaven that we will be in heaven with him in a glorified state, and that we have been made sons of God. So we have these five golden links in the chain of God's providence, the precise process from eternity to eternity. Now we need to consider the purpose of this process. For what reason did the Lord God Almighty in eternity select out from among rebellious, sinful people to choose some of them for salvation, for eternal life? That's what we are studying. What is the purpose? What was God's purpose in that? Well, it's listed here in this passage in verse 29. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined, now catch this, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The primary purpose for our salvation is for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would have a family throughout all eternity. He's a son, and he needs brethren, which includes the sisters. So that is God's purpose. And his present purpose in us is to be conformed to Christ. To be conformed, interesting word, means to be in agreement, means to take on the same form. And right now, presently, in this lifetime, that is happening. What is this day about in our life? What's behind getting up and going to work and eating lunch and eating dinner and sleeping and getting... What's behind all? The greater purpose is that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. And that takes place by being transformed. We are transformed by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what life is all about today. And it is the will of God for us. Sometimes we get many, many seminars and conferences with the subject, what is the will of God for your life? Here is the will of God for every one of us this morning. It's that we are to be conformed to the image of Christ in His likeness, the same form, to the image of Christ, His character, His conduct. And it has to do with the potter, the potter's freedom to take a vessel and shape it and mold it and form it the way He pleases. And so we are to be conformed inwardly, not just external conduct. Here's the rub. We talked about us, aren't we nice people, and wouldn't we pretty much qualify? Well, even the Apostle Paul said, I did pretty well with the commandments, with external behavior. But when Jesus came along and said, murder is within. To be conformed to Christ means inwardly and outwardly with His character. And the way we get along with the Holy Spirit is to submit and not fight against what He's doing with us to shape us to the image of Christ. Not resist Him, but to cooperate in submission with Him, depending upon Him. And so here is the purpose of this process, to be conformed, to make us brothers to Christ. We are in the family of God. He is the elder brother. And we, men and women, are His brothers. And this passage speaks of Him being firstborn, meaning rank, not time. We are brothers in the family. And this is God's purpose in this process. Now, what does this spell for us? What does this passage do for you this morning? If it doesn't awaken you spiritually with praise and adoration, something's missing. What this spells for us is security. Any psychologist in the world will tell you that one of the basic human needs is security. And the lack of it causes all kinds of poor behavior. And it comes out two ways. Being overly aggressive, hiding the insecurity by the bully attitude, or withdrawal. Claiming too much humility. This helps us and relieves us of that kind of thought. To be secure, to be stable. And what this passage is revealing to us is God's commitment to us. God is more committed to us than we can ever be to Him. And yet the pressure upon Christians today is to, out of their own striving, pumping it up, going for it, trying to live off the strength of their commitment to God. It's a slavery. The grace of God sets us free to live off the strength of God's commitment to us. And we have that opportunity this morning to respond to this passage of Scripture with such a burst of thanksgiving and praise that even the angels in heaven will hear us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We do truly thank you, Lord, for such great truth you have revealed to us in this passage. Thank you that you loved us and chose us and predestinated us and called us, justified and glorified us, and you are now conforming us. Thank you for all that. We respond to declare our dependence upon the Holy Spirit and to live our life in praise and thanksgiving to you. Lord, may this cause us to live with each other in a spirit of love and grace and help, and to be patient and kind and live out the life of Christ before others.